and welcome to Encore. Encore is Near FM's Highlights of the Week programme. And on this week's edition, John Healy is joined by Donna Corcoran from the Citizens Information Service, where they discuss the budget and what changes to expect. Later, George Mulcahy is joined on Lifeline by Evan Hughes, Vice Chairperson of DIT Mental Health Society, where they discuss the issue of mental health, as well as the launch of a video to mark World Mental Health Day. And finally, Joni Tarrant is joined on Northside Today by Dil Wickramasinghe, where they discuss life after news talk and a new podcast, Sparking Change with Dil. But first, on this week's edition of Encore, it's John Healy on Northside Today.
We have in studio now Donna Corcoran from Citizens Information.
Good afternoon, John.
It's been a while, Donna.
It is, yes. I've been out for a while. I'm glad to say someone missed me.
Right, we're going to talk about the budget changes. Now, the budget was a bit of a, I was saying it to you,
bit of a damn squid, was it? Yeah. I mean, I just think that it's actually a week ago, like last Tuesday or last Wednesday morning, we were all full of it, and already people are not really talking about it.
Yeah. No, there wasn't much to it, really.
The impact it was. Yes, there isn't a huge amount of change. That's why I've just picked out a few headlines, a few things that I found interesting, and hopefully your listeners do too. So I'm going to range from tax to sugar tax to social welfare and health. So these aren't in any particular order, just as I look at them. So for the first time in a while, income tax, the bans were extended, which is nice for people working, paying PRSI. So this means, for any example, they extended for a single person the 33,800 up to 34,500. Okay, it's not a huge increase. You know, what is it? Roughly €750 that you can earn more in the lower tax band.
Yeah.
Instead of that being pushed into 40%, you've 700 and odd, which is going to be 20%. So that's a little bit better. And for married couples, it went up from 42,800 up to 43,550. Okay, so as I say, it's a little help. If you're paid weekly, I don't think you're really going to hardly notice. If you're paid monthly, slightly. Buy the wife a bunch of flowers and a bottle of wine, and that might take care of it. The mortgage interest relief. We've had a couple of people said to me, "What? That's gone? What are they talking about?" Mortgage interest relief is gone if you bought a house since 2012, but they left it there for people who bought in the mad days. So if you had a house, think between 2004 and 2012, you still have some mortgage interest. So what they announced is they're cutting it back from 100% to 75%. It's you won't be able to get as much back on your tax.
That's only from those specific years of your
purchase. Only for those specific years that you bought a house and still have a mortgage, yes. And that will be phased out up until 2021. So you have 75% next year, down to 50% and 25%. But as I say, anyone who's bought a house since 2012, none of us have that mortgage interest relief anyway. But they sort of left it there because those mortgages are particularly high that were bought in those years.
Yeah.
Universal Service Charge, the USC, the exemption remains at 13,000. So if you earn 13,000 or less, you pay no USC. I always mention that really for students or part-time workers. You might earn very little. Make sure that you're not paying any USC on this. If you earn 13,000 and €1 over it, you come under the USC band and you will be paying. So they took a little bit off the four bands. You wouldn't really notice it much, but needless to say, they've gone down 0.5%. So, you know, if you earn over 13,000 and up to 19, it's 2%, and 19,000 to 70, it's 4.7%. And if you're lucky enough to earn 70,000 plus, it's 8% of your earnings. Again, medical card holders and people 70 and over, you're working and your income doesn't exceed 60,000, you won't pay any more than 2% on all your earnings. The sugar tax, I'll just mention, you don't have to worry about it till April, but the 1st of April, quite appropriate, isn't it? April
yes.
Fool's Day. Next year, the tax will apply to sweetened drinks. So they're going with the grams of sugar. So the more grams of sugar, the higher the extra tax on it. It could be 20 cent a litre or 30 cent a litre. Social welfare, as we know, all payments are going to get €5. Now that's pro rata. Some people, if you're on a reduced social welfare payment, you won't actually get the full €5. The good news is that under 26s used to have reduced job seekers. It was down to 124 or 100. You will get the full €5 increase. They're going to increase the qualified child rate from 29.80 up to 31.80. So it's €2. It's good. It's going in the right direction. And all those increases are not going to come in until March of next year.
Yes, some people are very miffed about that. You know.
Yes, because it used to be January, and then last year they sort of introduced this March thing, and now they've gone with March again this year. Yeah, I know. I totally understand. Again, all pensions, the FIS, Family Income Supplement, if you're out there working and you have children, there'll be an increase of €10 for the first one child, two child and three. They've only given it to up to three children. And again, that's in March. Fuel allowance, they've extended it from 26 weeks to 27, so they'll pay it 1 week extra. Again, it's something. And as we know, the Christmas bonus will be 85% of your base payment. So it's not 100%, it's not the double week, but it's 85%. So that's per payment as well. If you have 1.5 payments coming into your house, you've got 85% of each, which is nice. The new telephone support allowance is a weekly rate of €2.50, will be introduced for those living alone and that are eligible for fuel allowance. So that means it is sort of being means tested. And wait for it, that comes in June 2018.
June.
Yes. Needless to say, we don't have any forms and we don't have an awful lot of information for it. I'd imagine that's not going to come out till January, February next year.
That's plenty of time, really.
There's plenty of time to get it organised. What we're anticipating is that €2.50 a week will probably be paid at something like €10 a month, and it'll be added to the living alone or your
family packages,
the household benefits package, something like that. Yes. As I say, it's not for everybody. You must be living alone and eligible for the fuel allowance. So the certain target market. But again, nearer to June, we'll come back to that with more information. One parent families, if you're out there working or you've been moved on to the transitional payment, that means you've a child over 7 but under 14, you're on a transitional job seekers. There was an exemption that you can work up and earn up to €110 before it affected your payment. And the good news is that was increased to €130 a week from March. So that's good news for anybody parenting alone. You can earn an extra €20 before it reduces your one parent family. Me see. All the base payments, I don't think, suppose there's any point in me going into figures. They're just add €5 from next March. All of them the same. The telephone support, as I say, is not till next June. The FIS payments, which they've given it a new name. From next year, it's going to be called the Working Family Payment. We'll probably just still call it FIS for a while till we get used to it. But those €10 increases again in March.
The Working Family Payment.
Working Family Payment, yeah. At the minute, it's called Family Income Supplement for families that are working. Yeah. Anything else that might interest your readers? Let me see. There's a lot in here that is environment, business, education. They've put in a fund now, a further €30 million into remedial work for houses that have pyrite. So that's good. That fund should be able to more people to access it. One here again for the workers, the minimum wage. is going up from 9.25 an hour up to 9.55 an hour, which is 30 cent, from the 1st of January. So that's something. That's not too far away. And I worked it out roughly. If you work a 40-hour week on minimum wage, it's an extra €12. Plus you'll have your increases, your increase yet in your tax band and your reduced universal service charge. So in January, you should see some little difference.
Off, yeah.
Yeah, better off if you're out working. Self-employed, they got a new tax credit in the last budget. That's been increased from 950 to 1,150 per year. If you want to ring Citizens Information Call Centre, 076 107 4000, and they're there from 9 o'clock until 8 o'clock at night on the call centre. Our outreaches, while I'm here, John, I'll just do the whole thing.
Yeah.
Our outreaches, if you can't get us into the office or you can't get into the office, we are Tuesday mornings in Omni Shopping Centre near the fountain. Wednesdays actually is on hold at the minute. It is going to go back to Northside Library. Thursday mornings in Beaumont Hospital. As you're walking down towards the coffee shop, we're on the right hand side. I'm actually there tomorrow between 10 and 12, 12:15. See how busy I am on Thursdays. So other than that, give us a call.
On 0761 07 8190.
Yeah.
Okay, Donna, thank you very much for
You're
that.
Welcome.
And anybody can just come into the Civic Centre and go upstairs and drop into us.
And that was John Healy, who was joined on Northside today by Donna Corcoran from the Citizens Information Service. Next in Encore, George Mulcahy is joined on Lifeline by Evan Hughes, Vice Chairperson of DIT Mental Health Society, where they discuss the issue of mental health, as well as the launch of a video to mark World Mental Health Day. Anyway, One Brave Soul has joined me this morning, and that's Evan Hughes, who is Vice Chairperson of DIT Mental Health Society. Good morning to you, Evan.
Good morning, George.
It is really the calm before the storm out there, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's. I heard it was described as being like Christmas.
Yes, it is. It's got this really weird effect that, everything is going to shut down today at about 11 o'clock. And then after that, you've got your Christmas lunch. But we're not having Christmas lunch today. It's not even Halloween yet. But this morning, Evan, we're talking about the launch of a video to mark World Mental Health Day. And as I mentioned a few moments ago, you're Vice Chairperson of DIT Mental Health Society. Whose idea was it, Evan, and how can people see it?
The video idea was a combination of myself and Hannah McGlynn, who's the Media Chairperson in DIT Societies. She approached me at the end of the summer without really an idea, but with the concept that we wanted to do a video for World Mental Health Day. Mm-hmm. And I actually had the same idea, and that was one of our plans for the semester. So we sat down about a week before the day, which was the 10th of October, and we sort of planned out an idea. It really came together and we were very happy with it in the end.
Mm-hmm. And just looking at this as a project, how important is it that a project like this can help raise awareness in this area of mental health, because for a long, long time it's been neglected. I think that's fair to say.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Do you agree with that, yeah?
Raising awareness is one of the biggest things we can do right now. Mental health is improving as a destigmatized sort of theme in recent years. More people have been talking about it, which is absolutely great.
Yeah.
But the more we talk about it, the better it gets. Sea Change, who are the national organization for fighting mental health stigma, they do their Green Ribbon campaign every year, and that was centered around the week of World Mental Health Day. And I believe this year it reached three out of four people knew that this campaign was going on. And this has been a trending upwards every year. So the increase in awareness will lead to an increase in people speaking, hopefully, and will have a knock-on effect from there.
Mm-hmm. Is this the first time you've done something like this, Evan?
A video like this, yes. We have been running events for over a year on DIT's campuses, but we've never done something like this before, and we were very surprised and very grateful for the traction that it got.
Mm. I've seen the video, I've watched it about 3 or 4 times now, and it's really, it's an amazing piece of work, and well done to all involved.
Thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit about the process of making this video?
So myself and Hannah sat down about a week before the before World Mental Health Day over coffee. We kind of discussed how we were going to go about the video. We were quite in agreement on a concept for it, and that concept, which you'll see if you look at the video on Facebook, is we have a group of faces of about 20 DIT students and voices overlapping on top of that, and the voices are people, students who gave us reasons for why they don't want to talk about their mental health issues.
Right.
And the process started with us filming people, then we got the sound bites, and then there was about a day put together in editing it all and getting it ready for release.
Mm. And I know I touched on this earlier. Where can people see it?
You can see it on Facebook.com. Our Facebook page is DIT Mental Health Society. It's pinned on the top there.
And now that you've done one, is this something that you'd like to do again and maybe see other colleges do something similar?
Absolutely. We wouldn't want to saturate it too much. So
yeah.
I think we'd take a bit of time and make sure we've got a good idea and a good concept behind it. But we'd be absolutely interested in doing it again. We do have contacts and know people in mental health societies around Ireland, because most college campuses do have one at this stage. Most major colleges that have societies in them and have a strong societies base have a mental health society. And we'd be happy to work with them on something like this, because we think they'd all be very interested as well.
How successful has it been so far?
We're very, very happy with how the last 2 years have gone. We've had about 250 members last year, a little bit less this year, but the year's still young. And we feel that as a bit of a niche society, we have a good member base, and we get a lot of turnout to events from other societies and people who aren't necessarily members as well. There's a lot of interest on campus for a society like this.
Mm. How important is it that people like Brezzy? Brezzy, I think, has been a real cheerleader as far as mental health issues are concerned, particularly because he's a bloke.
Mm-hmm.
Us blokes don't, you and me, we're blokes, whether we like it or not, we're blokes, and we're absolutely hopeless at talking about these kind of things. I'm okay with it, I don't mind it, but I can mm-hmm. fully understand how and why other blokes are probably less forthcoming. Why do you think that is, Evan, and are things beginning to change?
Mm-hmm. There's been a very large stereotype around men from even when I was young, which is not that long ago at all, going back to long before that, that the men are the strong ones in the family, that they have to provide for people. This is actually touched upon in our video with some of them mentioning that I'm supposed to be the strong one. That's a very common theme that is thankfully being whittled away year on year. People like Brezzy, who come and speak out about it, and the Rubber Bandits, who are fantastic for raising awareness as well, are a big part of why that stigma is decreasing and why it needs to keep doing so.
Hmm. Just looking at the educational system itself, is enough being done within the educational system, and not necessarily talking about kind of third level, but within second level, secondary schools, and maybe even before that, because we know now that depression can set in as early or as young as 5,
mm-hmm.
which is a bit of a shock. And but do you think in this country we still don't take it seriously enough to put enough funding in to sort this out before it becomes an even bigger problem later in life?
Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of people around Ireland are starting to take it seriously enough, but on a government level, on a policy level, there's not enough being done. There's not enough change being pushed in that regard. I think that the earlier we talk about these issues, the better. And when people are growing up and the normality is for them to talk, then that's when you'll see real change coming out.
Yeah. As far as fellow students are concerned, I've been back as a mature student twice, one for media mm-hmm. and second of all for to study community development and psychology and social sciences. And which I loved immensely, but I the workload was pretty tough as far as assignments go, and the word count was quite high as well, which you can understand. I didn't mind doing assignments. I'm one of these sad people with no life, and I love this kind of stuff, and I do really miss them. But all joking aside, there are people who might, particularly if you procrastinate and let stuff build up, might find it tough. How important is that support that you get from fellow students when things are not great for you?
Support from other students is vital, whether they're in your course or in another aspect of college. At the end of the day, you're all in it together. Most people who are in college have quite a few hours. If you don't have a huge amount of hours inside class, you often have a lot of hours outside class. And then if you're some courses, you have a lot of hours inside class and a lot of hours outside class. But getting involved with other students and just being together is often a great help, because it takes your mind off the issues of college, and at the end of the day, as I said, we're all in it together when we're there.
And on that positive note, Evan, an absolute pleasure talking to you this morning.
Thank you. Great stuff.
And I was joined there by Evan Hughes, who's a brave soul, came out this morning. Evan, of course, is vice chairperson of DIT Mental Health Society. And that was George Mulcahy, who was joined on Lifeline by Evan Hughes, vice chairperson of DIT Mental Health Society. And finally, here on this week's edition of Encore, Donie Tarrant is joined on Northside Today by Dil Wickramasinghe, where they discuss life after news talk and the launch of a new podcast, Sparking Change with Dil.
Now, joining me to talk about life after news talk, and I suppose more importantly, her new podcast, Sparking Social Change, One Conversation at a Time, is Dil Wickramasinghe. Good morning, Dil. I didn't expect to be speaking to you so soon again after our last chat, but needs must, I suppose.
Good morning. Thank you so much. You caught me on the day that I'm actually recording the podcast, and you know how it is with guests and trying to get people in on time and all that. So you're very good for accommodating me a little bit earlier.
Dil, it's my pleasure. I suppose we'll start at where, I suppose, the only place we can really start, and I don't want really to take up the interview by dwelling on this, but your treatment by the executives in News Talk, were you surprised, disappointed, angered, hurt, or a range of all?
I suppose a range of all, because I worked in News Talk for 10 years, and I was told consistently my show fared very well when it came to the ratings. They were very happy as my own performance as a broadcaster. I really enjoyed the work, going in on a weekly basis, shining a light on social justice and mental health issues, and I thought it was a great platform to do so. So of course there was the big hoopla over a month ago with the comments by my fellow presenter George Hook regarding a rape case in the UK, and I felt I just had to take a stand, and because as a survivor of sexual abuse and violence myself, I felt I couldn't not say something, because the station hadn't acted as swiftly as people had hoped, and people remembering that week George was actually on air for a good 4 days instead of being suspended, because normally what happens is someone does something that is so upsetting and distressing, while you think about what to do, you suspend the person. And because they didn't, I took a public stance, and then he was suspended after four days, and then quite shockingly, less than 2 weeks later, my show was cancelled. So I was really disappointed that my career in News Talk had to come to an abrupt end, and I suppose under very kind of suspect circumstances.
Yeah, I just wonder, Dil, on two fronts in relation to that, because as far as I am aware, and I'm open to correction, is you were not the only member of staff there who spoke out, and I'm just wondering if you were, let us say, a white female born in Donnybrook, would you have been dealt with the same way?
The thought did cross my mind, but I suppose I went a little bit further than everybody, because other colleagues, they spoke out publicly Some even got together and you know, signed a letter of discontent. But I went that step further, and I told management that I was not comfortable going on air and share the same airwaves with the George Hook until he was held accountable. Now, just for the record, I never wanted him to lose his show or lose his job. I just wanted him to be suspended and maybe sent off to volunteer with the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre so he could have educated himself and then come back on air to educate the many thousands of people who never thought he said anything wrong in the first place. You know, so it has raised a lot of serious concerns. And for me, like, to be honest, where I am now, I'm very happy with you know, moving into digital and podcasting, and who knows what's next. But I do worry the message this is sending to survivors of sexual abuse and violence, aspiring journalists. You know, is this what happens when someone actually sticks their neck out and stands up for what they believe in? So these are very negative messages to send out into society, especially in the wake of what's happening in the U.S. with Harvey Weinstein. And you know, people often say, "Oh, why didn't women speak up sooner?" Well, this is, see what happened in my case. I spoke up and I lost my job. So it's incredibly disturbing.
I see. Well, I think in view of the fact that there are ongoing situations there pertaining to that, and maybe in your case there may even be further ongoing situations pertaining to it, we'll park it there and we will move on maybe to, as you say, a better place in your life at the moment. Your podcast, I am intrigued, Dil, by the title. Sparking Social Change, One Conversation at a Time. How is this going to work, Dil?
Well, it's the same. To be honest, it's not a huge departure from what I did on Global Village, because I entered Irish media to highlight social justice and mental health stories, because those are the issues that matter to me. And I feel I'm someone who has experienced discrimination, exclusion, and all kinds of injustices in my life, I have a very special insight into these stories. So my podcast, Sparking Change with Dale on the Head Stuff Podcast Network, will be very much highlighting the same stories that I was highlighting before. But I have a feeling with podcasting, I'm going to reach a much bigger audience and a global audience, because this is one thing I wasn't aware of that podcasting does. It is reaching a bigger audience and outside of Ireland as well. So that's a good thing, because if you want to spark social change, not just in Ireland, but globally, because let's face it, there's a lot of problems in this world. And if you can try and open people's minds and maybe even inspire people to make a small change in their own life, then together, collectively, we can create that better world that we all want.
Yeah, and how is it going to work, Dil? Like, I mean, is it a situation where you're going to be bringing in a guest each week and interviewing them in relation to it? Is it a situation where you're going to look at what you perceive or what is quite glaringly an injustice and dwell on that? What kind of a format or formula are you going to use, or is it a combination of all the above?
Yeah, well, I love to have more than, you know, it's a 1-hour show, and I will be talking to multiple guests. So, for example, my first podcast, which is going to be available on iTunes and Spotify from 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, we have Fintan O'Toole, columnist at the Irish Times. We have Mary Coughlan, who's you know, singer and you know, a national treasure, and we also have the head of the Women's Council of Ireland, Orla O'Connor. So we have three guests on the first podcast. So I can see us, you know, very much having three or more guests in relation to three different topics, because 1 hour is a long time to dwell on one topic. So I'm trying to, because there's a lot of issues. Unfortunately, I wish I could tell you there was not that many social justice and mental health issues in Ireland, and therefore, you know, I wouldn't have that many guests on. But unfortunately, because there are so many issues, I would still want to continue, you know, shining a light on as many stories as possible on a weekly basis. So there's really no difference from where I'm looking at it, from a radio program such as yours to podcasting. It's still going to be structured. It's still going to be conversations with a number of guests, and it's all going to be very current issues that would really appeal to anyone who has a social conscience.
And of course, mention of podcasts. Not that we'd want to go into a competition with Dil, but all our interviews are podcast on the Near FM website as well. So if you didn't get a chance to listen to this little chat with Dil, you can do so by going to the Near FM website and you will be able to hear Dil in conversation with me. Dil, you know, I thoroughly agree, I suppose, in a way with what you're saying, because, I mean, the more we do this kind of a job, the more things we see that a light needs to be shone on. And I think, if you'll pardon the pun, a shining example of that was Brother Kevin Crowley the other day when he addressed the situation in relation to how the homeless were treated in the run-up to the storm or ex-hurricane or whatever you want to call it. I mean, he spoke out very bluntly and very unsympathetically in relation to the government. And that's just one place, I mean, that a light needs, and it's being shone on it, but it doesn't seem to be doing much good. But you know what I mean, Dil, that there are so many different factors where lights need to be shone.
Just on that, they were talking about homelessness. You know, how many people in the Irish media do you know who were homeless themselves and now are working as journalists? You know, one of the reasons why I care about the issue about homelessness is because I was homeless myself for 4 years. And then when I meet someone on the street and I, you know, give them money, I always make sure I shake their hand and say, look, I used to be homeless too. Hang in there.
It only remains for me to wish you the best with that and to congratulate you on your new parenthood and your new broadcasting adventure. And I hope it goes well for you. We will keep in touch and we will try and shine a light wherever we can, no more than yourself. Dil, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
That was Encore for this week. Encore will be back here on Near FM at the same time next Sunday afternoon. That's 4 p.m. Have a terrific week. Bye-bye.